Okay, welcome to another exciting edition of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We're coming off a bye week, so we didn't have any games last week. But you know what? We had three tough weeks in a row, back-to-backs. And you know what? We needed some rest, but it's always a juggling act with a bye week, trying to get the right formula to get your players rest, but to also keep them sharp. All right, we'll get into that in a second. On this week's show, we're going to be joined by Coach Steve Cassavy, our lead assistant coach at Bishop's University, but also the head women's coach at Champlain-Lennoxville. Very busy man, so we're going to pick his brain a bit about how he manages that, and he's going to give some great advice for young coaches out there. We're also going to be joined by Mara Marchesotti, our starting center at Bishop's University, who's having a tremendous year. She's a 6'5" forward from Buenos Aires, Argentina. She joined us earlier in the year. We're just going to have her aboard this year to talk about her breakout season and, you know, what she's got planned for next year. She's going to be graduating this year in fine arts, and we'll chit-chat with her about her future, which looks very bright both on and off the court. All right, now, like I said, we didn't play this week, and you know what? I think, Diane, we've had a great week and a half of practices. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would say so. We're at a time of the season where we can't practice many hours just to not tax the bodies of the players too much, but the girls have been responding well, and they've been focused during practice.
Like, you know, I often call up some of my mentors out there, all right, coaches, and I've been talking to Coach Pomacalla a lot, all right, who's been on the show a couple of times, and he's very adamant that we had to cut practice time, and our workload and our volume has went down the last couple of weeks. We've been practicing maybe 75 minutes max, yes. And Diane is right. The players have responded great, all right? We're trying to keep them sharp. We're trying not to tax their energy systems. And I tell you what, like, we had five or six tremendous practices. I thought today they tailed off a bit. But, you know, the more I examined it, Coach, the more I thought to myself, we need to play, yeah. All right? Yeah. They were bored out there a bit this morning, and we started preparing for UCAM, which we'll get into in the wrap-up segment of our show. But, you know, right now we got to be very cognizant of their energy systems, all right? We got to do some injury prevention, and we got to concentrate on recovery and regeneration, all right? And you want them leaving the gym in a positive frame of mind and wanting to almost stay in the gym and take some shots. And I don't know if you've noticed this, Coach. Girls are not leaving the gym after practice. They still got some stuff in the energy tank, and they're taking some extra shots.
Yeah, exactly. We had four or five players who didn't have class this morning stay after practice to shoot, so that's always good to see.
So, you know, we've done a couple of things. Like this morning, we made them take ice baths. Last week, I got some massage therapy for some of the girls who have played major minutes this year. All right. Hopefully, you know, we talked a lot about this weekend. UCAM played two games last week. All right. And they defeated Concordia twice, and they've been a thorn in our side. All right. UCAM played Thursday night. We practiced Thursday. Our advantage was we were off Saturday when they played Saturday. And I'm hoping that's going to help us on Thursday night. Now, Diane, maybe you could go through some of the action that happened in the leagues over the past week. Like, we could start with the university leagues.
So at the university level, there were two games on Thursday. McGill won 56-52 versus Laval at home.
Hold on there. I think that's an important match. Like, McGill was ranked third in the country last week.
Yes.
All right. And Laval was fifth. Okay, and it's important to note that we have beaten both those schools. We knocked McGill out of the number one ranking, but they managed to beat them at home. What happened in the second game?
In the second game, Laval won 64-56.
So that's going to affect the ranking somewhat this week. All right, and just so we know, Diane, if you don't mind, can I go through the top 10 rankings?
Go ahead.
For last week, here is the top 10 rankings in the country. Regina, number one. Carleton, two. McGill, three. Acadia, four. Laval, five. McMaster, 6, Saskatchewan, 7, Queens, 8, Windsor, 9, Trinity Western, 10. What people don't realize is Bishop's University was ranked 15th in the country last year in the coaches poll. So that's the first time in many, many years. So that's tremendous for us, and hopefully we can build on that. Now, can you talk about the UCAM Concordia games?
Yeah, so on Thursday, UCAM went to Concordia and they won 75-44. And on Saturday, they played again and UCAM won 67-57.
So what are the standings now in the University League, Diane?
So McGill is in first place right now. They're 9-3. Laval, second place, 8-3. Where Bishops were in third place, were 5-6. UCAM is in fourth place, 4-8. And Concordia is in fifth place. They're 3-9.
Okay, so I mean that, you know, the way the playoffs work this year, 4 goes to 1, 3 goes to 2. Right now, we're sitting in third place, all right? And we can either move up or we can move down, all right? We still have 5 games remaining. So this upcoming weekend is important for us. Now, Diane, what action happened in the Sejup Leagues?
Yeah, so there were a couple of games on Friday. Vanier played against Lennox and they were able to beat Lennox 69-59 in overtime. And also Dawson won 79-48 against Trois-Rivières. On Sunday, there was a game with Sainte-Foy versus Champlain-Saint-Lambert, and Sainte-Foy won 55-54.
Okay, so, I mean, there was lots of action everywhere last week. You know, besides us not playing, that didn't mean we had a week off. I know I was in the Vanier gym on Friday night watching Vanier play Champlain-Lennoxville, and who walked in but the lovely Coach Andreville. All right, so she was out recruiting too, keeping an eye on things. On Saturday, I went down to Ottawa with my director of operations, Keith Cobelt, who was kind enough to drive. So I just was a passenger, but we went to 3 different games in 3 different gyms on Saturday. It was about a 14-hour day. So we worked hard over the holidays. Now, Diane, I'm wondering if you could go through some of the stats leaders in our conference, like maybe the leading score, like top 5 leading scorers, top 5 leading rebounders maybe. Okay. You don't have to give their averages, but let's just, I think those are interesting for the people out there.
So for the scoring leaders, we have Jessica Lubin from UCAM in first place, Caroline Task from Concordia in second place, Alex Kisruss from McGill in third, Fred Podvin from McGill in fourth, and Mara Marchizotti in fifth.
That's good. And I think it's interesting to look at the scoring leaders. You know, it's pretty balanced in our league. You know, I think we have 3 people in double figures. I think Concordia has 3 in double figures. I think UCAM has 2 in double figures. I think Laval has the most balance. They have 4 scorers that are averaging over 10. So it's kind of interesting. How about the rebounding leaders?
For the rebounding leaders, we have Alice Kisrusk in first, Jessica Lubin in second, our very own Marie Berouette in third, and again, Mara Marchizotti in fourth, and lastly, Raphael Cote from Laval in fifth place.
So we got 2 of the top 4 rebounders in the conference, which is kind of nice, all right? Yeah. And Mara's 5th in scoring, and she's 4th in rebounding, and she's going to join us today. Here's something that I know right off the top of my head, all right? Edith Noblechilla is among the league leaders in a number of stats. I think she's 9th or 10th in scoring. She's, I don't know, 6th or 7th in rebounding. She's 1st in steals and assists. All right, so she's just having an unbelievable season. Anyways, that about wraps up our first segment. We're going to be right back with Coach Cassidy. So we'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes. Thank you very much. Singing songs about it at PSO. And I hear blue strains of no regretting. Cross the street from Cathedral Notre Dame. Meanwhile, back in San Francisco, I'm trying hard to make this whole thing glam. Yet the city pond is jagged. Story block with you, my friend. And it's a long way, Buffalo, Okay, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Today we're fortunate to be joined by a very special guest, a man I have deep respect for, one of the hardest workers I've been around. We have Coach Steve Cassidy here today. Welcome aboard, Steve.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good. So just a bit of background info on Coach Cassidy. Number one, he's our lead assistant coach at Bishop's. He's the head women's coach at Champlain-Lennoxville. I don't know how he does it. All right, he's got to juggle remembering two sets for two different teams, 24 or 25 different girls. All right, with our team, he's our lead assistant coach, so he helps with scouting, he helps with recruiting, he helps with game planning, he helps with scouting. He does it all. He's got a family. He lives in Lennoxville. He's a very busy man. So we're very fortunate to have him here, and we're going to pick his brain a bit, and I think it's important for people out there who have young kids playing basketball, listen to his message. He also runs the Explosion basketball program for girls, and I think he's expanding it for boys, and that's a big program in the basketball Sherbrooke community in the summer. So, Steve, can you please touch on when you started playing ball growing up in the Gaspé?
Yes, I started playing basketball actually only in grade 10. Previous to that, I was a competitive hockey player. So after my grade 9 season in hockey, I decided to stop. I would just played so much hockey over the years. I wanted a new challenge.
You were fed up.
In Gaspé, there's one level of hockey. So I just really wasn't that competitive for me anymore. So I wanted to switch it up.
So you start playing basketball in grade 10. You end up going to Sage up in the Gaspé to start?
Yeah, so I played basketball in grade 10. I won Defensive Player of the Year and Most Improved. And then my following year, I was the MVP of my basketball team. And then, coming from a small town, I was thinking about moving away. Wasn't quite ready. So I went to the local CJEP where I played more senior basketball. There was guys from the community that was there, and we'd go around Quebec playing basketball tournaments and stuff like that. And that was kind of the start of basketball for me.
So did you kind of just, I know a lot of people that when they get introduced to basketball, they just get addicted to it and they fall in love with it. Was that the case with you?
Well, I have kind of a funny story, actually. After my grade 10 year, if you have ever watched hockey, and most Quebecers do, you play at a pretty high level and everything's intense. So I can remember missing many layups during a game where my coach would tell me to calm down and settle down. And at the end of the year, I don't remember the book company, but you could order books and like they'd come at the end of the year. I asked my mom order me coaching books for basketball. So during my grade 10 and grade 11 year, I would teach myself how to pivot looking at a book, and that's how I started.
So that's a perfect segue into the next question. I'm wondering, so I know you were at Gaspé, then you transferred, you came to Lennoxville, and you were a student at Champlain-Lennoxville. So now you start exploring possibly getting into coaching at a very young age. So I'm wondering, how did you get into coaching?
Well, one of my friends, because I spent 2 years at the Sage up in Gaspé, Mike Drone was recruited by Don Caldwell to go to Champlain, and him and I were really close friends. So he was coming to Lennoxville, so I decided to do the same. And my intention was fully to play basketball, but I tore my ACL in gym class, my ACL, my MCL, my meniscus. So when I arrived on campus, my intention was to play basketball, but I was not even remotely ready due to the injury. And Don Caldwell at the time, who's became my mentor because I'd watch his practices pretty much every night, I guess he must have saw the passion in me and said, "Hey, Steve, why don't you go and coach basketball at the high school?" And I said, "Coach, are you crazy? I'm not coaching basketball. I have no interest." And I don't know, it sat in my mind for a bit. And about a week later, I went up to Alexander Galt on a Friday afternoon. I said, "Listen, is there any team that I can coach?" And the junior girls were available, and we won the regional championship.
Well, that's quite a story. And for people out there, Don Caldwell's a bit of a legend in these areas. He's coaching up at Thetford Mines right now, helping out with the program up there. He's coached at Champlain-Lennoxville, the men. He's coached women's and men's basketball at Bishop's University. He's a he's a legend, and that must have been a good experience for you to be around him in your formative years.
I just loved it, and you know, I'd sit up on the corner of the track at Mitchell Gymnasium, and I'd take notes. That's what I do, and yeah, you know, Don at one point came to one of my practices at high school as well, and he watched me for a bit, and he's like, "You're doing a great job," and he said, "You know, make sure you coach and teach what you know."
Yes.
And that's always what I did.
It's great advice. Now, can you talk a bit about how you first got hired at Champlain and maybe, you know, talk about the growth of the program? And, you know, how long have you been there?
I'm in my 14th year now. You know, I did a quick calculation last night from 2009. I started in 2003. And in the Division II league, we were 87-3 over since 2009. So I'm assuming we're probably about 140 and about 15 over my tenure at Champlain before moving into Division I. How did I start coaching at Champlain? When the men's team at Champlain went from Division I to Division II, when Don Caldwell left the program, Stuart Gear was moving to the men's side on Division II, and the women's program became available. So I never thought I could coach at that level, but I said, I'm going to throw my name in the hat and see what happens. So I went down and I went through, I believe it was two interviews, and the following week I was hired.
So, you know, that's a pretty impressive record at the D2 level. And I guess the natural progression would be to go from the D2 level to the D1 level. And I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about that experience, the growth of the program, the transition from D2 to D1, and how that's progressing now.
Well, certainly that was our intention once, you know, well, just to give you a bit more information, my wife became my assistant coach as well, Charlene Marion. And, you know, it got to the point where I don't want to say Division II was too easy, but there was no more of a challenge. So we had approached the administration at Champlain and asked if we could move to Division I, and they were fully supportive. And we got declined the first time we applied. And then we got accepted the second time, and you know, the growth of the program over the years has been phenomenal. Also, due to the fact of the quality of players in our area, and now that we're in Division I, we started off with 2 wins our first year. We're in 4 in our second, and this year has been more of a struggle. But I can certainly see growth in the program. That's for sure.
Well, I mean, you've developed some terrific players, you know, that have went on to play at the next level. You know, Cynthia DuPont's playing for Carleton, is probably going to be ranked number one in the country this year, and she's a key rotation player for them. You have Sarah Wells this year, who's signed to go to University of Vermont, which is tremendous for the program, and Emma Huff has got a scholarship at, what is it, UBC Okanagan.
Yeah. We also have Charlotte Sarrazin. She's signed with York University. Mary Pierre Kingsley is going to University of Guelph. But my very first player to go on to university was Emily Ann Downey, which is a local girl here. And she ended up going to McGill. And I remember calling up Ryan Thorne and saying, you know, I have a girl going to your team. And he's like, you know, Steve, I don't know. Division II player, I'm not sure if she'll fit into our plans and stuff. And I said, well, give her a chance. And sure enough, she went up there and she made the team immediately. So a local talent right here in Lenoxville.
Well, that's great. Now, you know, I guess you've had, you know, ups and downs with the Bishop's University women's program as well. Can you talk a bit about your tenure as an assistant coach and your development as a coach at that level, how it's helped you and maybe some of the things you've seen change over the years?
Well, certainly I've been there in the worst of times, and I think I'm there now at the best of times. So I've certainly seen a progression over the years, that's for sure, especially in the last 2 years. You know, where we're not trying to survive in games, we're actually trying to win games. But the program is certainly going in a great direction, that's for sure.
Perfect. Now, can you please talk about your involvement in community basketball, and specifically the creation of the Explosion program and some of the main objectives of that particular program?
Well, about 8 years ago, my wife and I we decided we wanted to run some youth summer basketball during the off league play, and it kind of worked out because that summer there was an Estrie basketball tryout, and there was around 40 girls that had tried out for the team, and they were only going to take, I think, 15. So there's about 25 girls that were not going to play that summer. And so it made a perfect time for us to move in and start that. So we ended up contacting all 25 of those girls, and we had about 9 or 10 that decided they wanted to play. And the interesting part to that was we had three or four secondary twos, two or three secondary threes, again, three or four secondary fours and one secondary five. And we made one team that first year. And it was quite a remarkable year because that year we had Noemi Hamel-Petit. She had played with us. Jessica Jalikar, who plays now with Concordia. So those two girls were playing with girls 2 and 3 years younger than them. And in our last basketball tournament, we won a Sejep Division II tournament with that group. And from then on, it just started to skyrocket. And the reason why we wanted to do it was really to improve the basketball in the area. And there was a need for it, and we had a desire to do it. And yeah, we've been doing it ever since.
So now with this program, you run it in the summer, correct?
Yep.
And I mean, you guys go and play in AAU tournaments in the U.S. And how many kids are involved in the program now?
Last year we had, I think it was 34 in total. We had some girls that were not playing on the team, but they were still coming to train with the team. But this year we plan on adding a new part to it, which we've been thinking about over the last couple of years, but we're going to add a boys' side, a U15 and a U17.
So basically, you're developing basketball and you're creating a feeder system for yourself, correct?
Well, certainly. That's always, you know, in the back of our minds. But at the end of the day as well, we can't take every single one of those players.
Well, I think it's a great opportunity for young coaches to get involved as well, right?
Absolutely.
You know? Would you ever consider having Diane Andreville come aboard?
Well, I've already asked her, and she said she was absolutely in, so we're looking forward to it.
Perfect. Now, Coach, you know, I talked about your work ethic when I did your intro, and it's obvious you work very hard, all right? I've been there, you know, trying to juggle several things. I'm wondering, how do you do that? And what's a typical day look like for you?
Well, you know, a typical day, well, we start with Bishop's practice. This is usually 6:30, 6:45, or 7 a.m., depending on what day of the week we're at. I leave practice. I get home, bring my little girl to daycare, drive back to Champlain, and depending on what day of the week it is, you know, I'll work 3 or 4 hours, then we'll have practice, then I'll go back to the office again for another 2 or 3 hours, and then back off to pick up my little one, and that's kind of how it rolls pretty much every day. Now,
well, I mean, you know, I you know, one thing that I talked about in the intro was, like, we're in the dog days of the season. We're in the real grind. And this is where you see if you really love coaching in February, I think. Now, what are your thoughts on both the Cougars and Gators moving forward for the rest of the season? What are the goals you know, where are you heading in the programs?
Well, I mean, with Champlain, for sure, our goal is to be competitive the rest of the year. That's really our goal, and hopefully that'll bring us a couple of wins. That's really our goal at this point. I think on the opposite spectrum with BU, I think sky's the limit. I mean, we can compete with any one of those teams that are in the league, so, you know, I certainly have high expectations.
Coach Andreville, you're sitting over there pretty quiet. Do you have any questions for Coach Cassidy?
Actually, I do. So I'm currently coaching a local high school, and it's at the juvenile level. And I have many girls who are always asking me about, like, how to be visible and how to be recruited at the CJEP level potentially. Do you have any advice for them?
You know, my biggest advice to any athlete that wants to be seen is to contact the coach.
Okay.
You need to contact the coach because sometimes players assume that they're not good enough, or assume that the coach doesn't want to see them. But sometimes they just don't know. Okay. So contact the coach and say, hey, you know what, I have an interest to go to Champlain or Sage-Up to Sherbrooke or wherever it is, and let them know that I want to go there.
I would concur with Coach Caspi because I know his work ethic, I know mine, and if any kid contacts me to play at the university level, I will feel very bad if I do not follow up on it. And you just may be missing out on a player that could really help your program.
Absolutely.
You know, and it shows great initiative by the player as well, correct?
Absolutely. And especially if you're a local talent, contact the coach. Ask him for an individual training.
Exactly.
Good. I'll let them know. Lastly, so I just started with coaching for about 3-4 years now. Do you have any advice on like where to start to get the most experience and how to move forward so you could go up in the levels? Because my goal ultimately is to coach at the university level.
Well, I'm going to give you the same advice that Don Caldwell gave me. You know, teach what you know and be a student of the game. Like, try to improve. We always want to get our players to improve every day in practice, but at the end of the season, when you are done, it's up to you as a coach to become better. And whether that's through clinics, whether that's through mentorships, whatever it is, try to become better. And with in turn, your players will also become better.
Yeah. Well, that's perfect. Now, Diane, you stole my last question, so I guess we're good to go. Steve, wish you continued success with both programs, and thank you so much for dropping in today.
Thank you very much. Won't blow the hoist, 'cause this town they bit off more than they can chew. As we gaze out on, yeah. Saint Dominic's preview. Saint Dominic's preview. Saint Dominic's preview. All the orange boxes are scattered. I guess a Safeway, supermarket in the rain. And everybody feels so determined not to feel anyone else's pain. No one making. All right, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We are very fortunate today to be joined by Mara Marchesotti. Mara, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Mara's a fifth-year player studying fine arts. She's going to graduate this year. She does some great stuff in that Department of Fine Arts. A really talented artist. She has a show coming up. When is it? March
28th.
March 28th, where she shows off some of her finished products. So I've seen some of them, and she does wonderful, wonderful work, and hopefully she's going to make a living at that. But she's having a tremendous season on the court, all right? And Mara, you know, I'm going to miss coaching her because she tries to do everything you ask her to do. I've never coached a player who works harder. I've never coached a player who's more engaged. She has a tremendous basketball IQ. Her game is coming together. I mean, there's a young lady who scored 36 points versus Concordia a couple of weeks ago. She matches up, you know, game in, game out with the top post player on the other team. She plays against two first team All-Canadians on a regular basis, against Jessica Luban at UCAMP and against Alex Kiss-Rusk. And her last game, her second to last game against McGill, she managed to hold Kiss-Rusk to 4 points, which was unbelievable. But as good a basketball player as Mara is, she's even a better person. And Mara, I just wanted to tell you how grateful I am to have the opportunity to coach you.
Well, thank you, Coach.
Now, I'm wondering if you can talk, like, you're having a tremendous season. Can you talk a bit about your thoughts, what your thoughts are on your development this year on the court? Because you've figured things out.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I'm really happy with the season. I know I've grown as a player, throughout the season. But I always believe there's things to work on all the time. I still think that I can improve my shot and my passing from the post. But there's definitely been some improvement. I think I've reached some level as a player that for sure is gratifying.
What are some, like, you touched on a couple of things that I think, you know, you're working on passing out of the post, and I've seen this week that you're starting to shoot the ball with a bit more confidence and willingness from the perimeter.
Yes. Like, you know, I'm trying, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Mara, we have a big week this week, all right? And I know all you girls are very well aware on it. Can you touch on what you're concentrating on to get ready for playing 3 games in 5 days?
Yes. Well, for sure, we have 3 big games coming up. Our first one at UCAM. So me personally, I focus on my task and what I have to do, which will mainly is matching up with my post on the other team, which is going to be Jessica LeBan. Which is a strong player. So my goal in my head is to stop her and doing everything I can to be a good influence on the team, on the game.
Now, what's it like matching up with Luba and Kiss Rusk on a regular basis? That's a tremendous challenge, right?
Yes, for sure it is. It's really nice. I really enjoy playing on the post, honestly. And those two players are a good matchup, honestly, compared with like Laval and Concordia. They don't really have a well-established five, but McGill and UCAM do. So it's always very nice to be able to match up with good players.
How do you get mentally ready for that type of matchup?
I always think my next task, what do I have to do? Like playing defense, I need to jump to the ball, stop her, playing on the post, and then what comes on offense, and like that throughout the whole game.
Perfect. Now, how has the team progressed, in your opinion, this year from day one to now, where we're at right now?
It has majorly progressed. I think it's been one of the best years I've had since I've been here at Bishops. And definitely there's improvement from many different players. I think from Ashley Milom and Moda Chambaud, I think they've grown a lot, and they have poured like a lot to the team. So I think that also influences us as a team to come together. Obviously with me and Edith also playing, and Marie as our four also helps us a lot in our games. So yeah, I think definitely have grown.
Now, you know, in my very humble opinion, I think you've done a tremendous job as a captain this year. And I'm wondering if you could talk about some of your responsibilities in that role and how you've grown in that role.
Well, it's been always tough for me to be a captain. But I think the job is to try to be the middleman between the coach and the team. And
middle management.
Yeah. Type thing. And try to, you know, have like a, you can talk with your players and with your coach and being able to manage that. And also, you have to be a leader in the court as well as a captain. With me, Edith, and Meshlin, the three of us always try to bring the best for our teammates.
Now, I see that like you've formed a pretty good relationship with your fellow captains. Obviously, you've been here with Edith Noblechilla for 5 years, and you're both from South America, and mm-hmm. and you've played together for 5 years. But I think Mesh Len's done a pretty good job this year.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, Mesh has really bring a lot to the team as well. Like, she brings that intensity that not many players have, but definitely she has brought a lot as well.
Perfect. Now, we're in the stretch run in probably the most competitive league in North America for women. I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about, you know, the fatigue factor, and if you can touch a bit on some of what you do to recover and regenerate your body.
Yes, well, I think rest is the principal thing to do, like getting a good night rest, sleep, and me personally, I always try to go and put ice after each practice. Stretching always help as well. But yeah, doing everything that you can to recover and be ready for the next game.
Now, I'm sure you've noticed that we've cut down on practice time in the last week or so.
Yes. Have
the girls enjoyed that aspect?
For sure. I think it helps to have a short but intense practice. I think is being successful for us.
Now, tell me this. I know academics is so important to you, all right? Mara is one of these special young ladies that when I even ask her to miss class on occasion for the good of the team, she won't do it. All right? She won't take that hit. She'll make me work harder and find another gym time, which keeps me on my toes. And you know what? I respect that totally. Now, I'm wondering, how is stuff going for in your final semester in the classroom?
It's been great, actually. I've been only taking 3 classes, which is a bit of a less of a workload, so that's nice. But it's really nice. I really enjoy my classes, so I'm very happy with my last semester.
Good. Now, you know, this is kind of a bittersweet question, all right, because I know it's always difficult, all right? So you've given up 5 years, all right, to be you and living in this very special community. And I'm wondering, how quick have those last 5 years gone by? And what do you think you're going to miss most about BU and the BU basketball program?
Yeah, for sure it's gone by really quick. It feels like yesterday I came here in 2013 to Canada to live. But I mean, for sure I'm going to miss the people. Like, I've met great people here. I made great friends. I had a second family here with Charlene and Steve. And about the team as well, like the basketball team, I mean, it's a second family, right? Like, you spent with your teammates a whole lot of time. So for sure I'm going to miss them, and I'm going to miss playing on the court at BU. It's really a nice environment to play at. So yeah, I'm going to miss that.
Now, you know, for all you people out there, Mara's, you know, she has the potential to do something with her basketball future. I've watched her mature, her body mature. Mara's been in the weight room religiously for the last 2.5 years, and she gets up and down the floor, and she's able to compete for 35, 40 minutes a game. Mara played for the Argentinian senior national team last year, which must have been an unbelievable experience. I'm wondering, what's on your radar for next year? Are you planning to go back with the senior national team this summer? Have you been in touch with the coach?
Yes, I've been in touch with the coach. He's been talking to me. It's a big year. It's coming up, a year up for the national team. There's the World Cup that's happening in Spain around September, I believe. And there's a lot of tours before the World Cup. We're traveling to a lot of places. So for sure, after finish here, I'm going to go back home and start training with them and stuff. So that's going to be very nice.
Now, do you think that this past year is going to help you in your development, like to contributing to your success at the national team level?
Yes, for sure. I think, as I said before, I've reached some levels as a player that I haven't reached before. So I think, yes, it has helped me a lot and is continuing to help me.
Now, tell me about... I know I've been contacted by your agent for some film and stuff, and can you talk a bit about that relationship and the prospect of playing pro ball next year and making a living doing that? What are you looking at in particular?
Yes, I've been talking to him. He has also represented some players on the national team from back home. And yes, I'm looking at some clubs in Europe. I would love to play there, professional basketball. And I'm looking also at masters. So there's a chance to do masters in playing. So I think that will be great, like combining those two.
So you could use basketball to open some doors for you once again.
Yes, exactly.
Now, Marit, quickly, can you talk to me a bit about that game you had at Concordia, that special game where you scored 36. Did you have any idea that at the end of the game you had such a dominant performance, or were you just in such a zone that night?
I would say half and half. It was a point that I didn't even realize we were in the fourth quarter, and there was 1 minute left in the game, and I was just like, I was tired, and I just like, what's happening? And Jemaine, she's like, Mara, there's 1 minute left. Let's go. Keep scoring. So, yeah, it was quite an experience. It was nice.
You know, it was quite a performance. Like, I don't think I've seen in my years of women's basketball, which is not a lot, I don't think I saw a performance like that. And it's interesting because after the game, I ran into Lizanne Murphy, who's played 12 or 13 years for our women's national team, a tremendous player from Montreal, and she's played like 15 years a pro in Europe. And she said to me, man, Mara had an unbelievable game tonight. I said to her, yeah, she had 36, but I said, she could have had 40. Well, Lisa Murphy said to me, she should have had 50. So that was an unbelievable performance, and I'm hoping you could save some of that for our playoff run. Now, Diane, do you have any questions for Mara?
Yeah, so regarding that history game, how did it feel to finally win at Concordia?
Oh, well, yeah, that was an experience. It was nice. We haven't won a game against Concordia there in my 5 years here, and, well, before the team before me either. So, I mean, it was big for us, definitely.
Okay, one more question. So, in the last 2 years, you've made a lot of improvements. Did you do anything differently that led to that improvement?
I think I've been working a lot harder, and I've been hitting the gym a lot. I think weights influence a lot in my improvement, and just hard work, I think, yeah.
Now, you know what? Like, Mara, we've slayed a lot of dragons this year, all right? We've won a game at Laval.
Mm-hmm,
we won a game at Concordia, all right? We beat all four teams in the conference this year. We beat five teams that were ranked in the top 10. What are some other things on your bucket list before your career ends? What do you want to do?
I definitely want to make the playoffs with the team. That's definitely in the bucket list.
Well, we're knocking on the door, right?
Exactly.
We're knocking on the door.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I'm a bit worried, you know, that we've had this week off. Do you think we're ready to play Thursday night?
I think we're ready to go against UCAM for sure.
You know, I thought, you know, UCAM really got the better of us those last two games, but I think that they bullied us, they intimidated us, but we slayed that dragon against Concordia,
mm-hmm.
all right, and McGill. Do you think that we're ready to go to war with UCAM?
Oh, for sure. I think we learned from those last two games we had against them, so I think we're ready to go on Thursday, for sure.
If practices are any indication, I think we're more than ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right, Mara, listen, thanks so much for coming, joining us again, and we wish you continued success on and off the court.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. To anybody but themselves. Talking behind closed doorways. Try to get outside. Get outside of the shells. And forever. Across cutting country corner. Cutting corner. Forever Hank Williams Railroad. Train that cried, and all the chains, badges, flags, and emblems, and every strain on brain and every eye. As we gaze out on, as we gaze out on, as we gaze out on, as we gaze out on.
Okay, welcome to the wrap-up segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. I'm sitting here with Diane Andreville. We got a really tough stretch coming up, Diane. You know, we had inclement weather earlier in the year and a game was canceled, and now it's coming back. Thursday night, we travel down to UCAM, who has been a nemesis in our side for years. Bishop's women's basketball has not won a game at UCAM in, I don't know, a decade. All right? And we gotta go in there Thursday night and play against a team that's coming on strong. They've won four of their last six. They're in fourth place. They're looking to move up the standings. We got five wins. They got four. So whoever wins that game is going to be in third place all alone. All right? Because they would have the tiebreaker on us, because that would mean they were 3-1 against us this year. So that's going to be a hell of a challenge, Diane. What do you think about this upcoming game?
Well, anytime we go to UCAM, the atmosphere is different, and it's a tough gym to win in. But if we stay the course, be focused, and think about our next task to execute, I think we'll be fine.
You know, UCAM is a very physical team, all right? Coach Albina Branzova does a great job. She played in the WNBA, and the team is well coached. They lead our conference in field goal percentage. They take high percentage shots. They try to get the ball inside. They're a big team. They play Jessica Lubin and Sarah Cabana, and it's a 1-2 punch in the post, and they kind of punch you in the face for 40 minutes. And that's been successful against us in the past. But I think that we're a bit tougher now. We're a bit more game ready. And I think the other thing that they do that causes us problems is they they play a lot of zone against us. And they've been showing different, like last game they were in a 1-3-1 zone, a 2-3 zone, man-to-man. They were in a triangle and two. So I think we've got to play with a little more poise down there, Diane.
Yes.
Now, that being said, you know, we've been preparing for UCAMP. We go in there Thursday night, all right? We'll have practiced Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Probably have a walkthrough on Thursday. Drive down to UCAMP on Thursday. We're going to have to give the girls Friday off because Saturday we prepare for Laval. Sunday we're on the road again to Laval, which would mean three straight road games in a row at McGill, UCAMP, and Laval. Three crazy places to play. All right? But it's not over there. Then we get back from Laval Sunday. We have to prepare for them because we got them at home on Tuesday. So we have three games in 5 days. Laval is a different beast, all right? They're probably going to be ranked third or fourth in the country this week because they beat McGill last week. They split with McGill, who was ranked third in the country. They were ranked fifth in the country. They're coached by Guillaume Giroux, and he has a more athletic team. Yes. All right, that team went to the national final last year. They had a tremendous year last year. They're having another tremendous year. They've got, you know, Raphael Cote's having a great year. Jane Gagné's having a good year. Sarah Jane Marois having a good year. Claudia Imon. They're all averaging in double figures. All right, and they like to push the ball. They like to score in transition. They like to shoot the three. And they're more an aesthetic team where UCAM's a physical team. And we match up, I think, fairly well with Laval. What are your thoughts on that, Diane?
I think we do match up fairly well, and we have an advantage with Mara Melchizori as well going down there.
Yeah, I agree. Like Mara, they have Leia Dominic, who's 6'4", but she's a first year, and she's had a tremendous year, but I think that's a good matchup for Mara. And Leia Dominic's done a tremendous job this year in her freshman season. But, you know, we're going to be tested in the next 5 days, Diane, all right? And I'm hoping, you know, we're going to find a lot out about ourselves. It's, you know, the two tough road games, but you know what? As Mara said, we gotta concentrate on the task at hand, all right? And we can't think about wins or losses. We gotta think about the process, not the outcome, and think about the next possession. We gotta win a possession, then win the next possession, all right? So, you know, two great coach teams, unbelievable challenge this week. We look forward to it, and hopefully we're gonna come into the radio show next week with our chins held up high. Now, the song of the week this week, Diane, who do you think it's by?
Van Morrison.
Yes, you're right. How did you know? All right, it's called St. Dominic's Preview. It's not really about anything, all right? It's just a terrific song by a terrific artist, all right? His songs are always so beautifully done because, much like a basketball team, they're all, you know, a good basketball team, a championship basketball team, everybody does their job. If you listen to Van Morrison closely, all right, everybody's just doing their job, but he's leading the way. Now, he says one of the words he uses in this song is regretion, all right? And I used it last week on the show, and I don't know if Diane noticed, but there's no such word as regretion, except it comes from the word regret, all right? And the way we need to play right now is when we finish a game, when we go to the locker room, we can't have any regrets, all right? We got to leave it all out on the floor. And if we do that, we're not going to shed a tear because if you have no regrets and you play hard for 40 minutes, you grow as a team and things are just going to take care of themselves, all right? So that's what I'm looking forward to this week. I'm hoping we could go out and just play hard, Diane,
yes,
and play free. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that the girls are starting to connect the dots in practice,
yeah,
all right? I've been fairly positive this week with them just because they've deserved it. And they're working so hard, and now they're thinking by themselves, and they're starting to coach themselves. And let's be honest, a really well-coached team becomes the coach doesn't need to be there after a while, all right? They're going to do things, and they're seeing things. There was one instant the other day where they went free throw break into automatic. Now, these are tactical things, but they're very... they just happened without any directive, and the execution was beautiful, and it was done by the girls, and they've come such a far way, all right? And I'm just so looking forward to this week. Now, Diane, What is the coaching tip of the week for this week for all the young coaches out there?
So last week I talked about long-term athletic development, and a major component of having that development and progression is repetition. You know, repetition is key to mastering any of the foundation skills or techniques needed in basketball, like shooting or dribbling. So what we do at Small Ball is at every session, after the warm-up, we always do a couple dribbling and ball handling drills. Then we move on to layup stations. We do layups every session. We always have stations so the kids could get familiar with the footworks. A lot of our kids are beginners, so I want to emphasize the footwork and ball handling to get them comfortable with making layups and shots. We have the kids say the steps out loud as well. So they say right, left, right, left, right, left as they're performing the layups as a tactic to get them to remember the correct footwork. And once the footwork becomes second nature to them, I'll move on to dribbling before the layup so then they could start the layup at the half court. And then they'll get a chance to combine dribbling and shooting together. And so the key message here is repetition will build consistency, which will facilitate their development in the long run.
It's a tremendous, tremendous message. And, you know, let's be honest, Diane, like, kids need to master how to put the ball in the basket, yep. Right? I mean, that's the positive. Certain people do it, like there's nothing better as a youngster than seeing that ball go through the net, get some string music happening. If you can make layups, now you're getting ready to progress, and now you're going to start taking 5-foot jumpers, 7-foot jumpers, and it goes on. I'm wondering, Diane, what are your thoughts on you know, drilling players versus teaching them in small-sided game situations?
I mean, it depends on the level they're at. Right now, I have two groups in different ages. So with the younger kids that are 5 to 7, I'll go with drills because they don't know the game situation. They don't know the game that well yet. So I start with small skills, passing, dribbling, all that. And then with the older group, I start with game situations, like two-man passing, teaching them not to travel, stuff like that.
Now, as part of the theory behind the repetition aspect of it is – I think part of it is muscle memory, correct?
Yes.
Perfect. Well, that, some more great coaching tips from Diane Angerville. Diane, thanks so much for your contributions this week. As usual, stellar job.
No problem, Coach.
All right. And we wish everybody a safe end of week, a great weekend. And we'll be back next Wednesday night on Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Have a great, great day. Thank you. Bye. All the restaurant tables are completely covered. Yeah, the record company has paid out for the wine. You got everything in the world you ever wanted. And right about now, your face, your worst man. Do you know? That's the way it all should happen. When you're in the state you're in, have you got your pen and notebook ready? Think it's about time for us to begin. And meanwhile, we're over on a 52nd Street apartment, socializing with the wine on view. And just to be hip. Get wet with the jet set. But they was flying too high to see my point of view. As we gaze out on. St. Dominic's preview. Look at the man. Look at the band. St. Dominic's preview.
then hold on.